بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Well, this evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our seventh session reading from the Sharh of العقيدة الواسطية, the explanation of the book of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and the commentary of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz رحمهم الله. Tonight we're going to continue with some of the ayat of the Quran that the author Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in his presentation of the names and qualities or characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named and described himself with. Before doing so, we're going to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 6. The first question being mentioned, the four groups of people described by Allah as being the people of As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, yani from the Quran, 4th Surah, 69th Ayat, the four groups of people. Zaki. The prophets, naam. Okay. Truthful, Siddiqeen, martyrs. And the righteous. Naam. This is mentioned in the Quran in the 4th surah, Surah An-Nisa, 69th ayat. Allah mentions the path of those who He has blessed. And He includes within those people the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. Question number 2. Mention 5 elements of the description of As-Sirat al-Mustaqim offered by the Sharih, yani the explainer of the original text. 4 are 5 elements of the description of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Naam, Amir. Alhamdulillah.
Belief in Allah.
Belief in Allah.
And His names.
And His names.
Obedience to Allah.
Obedience to Allah.
Belief in the Tawheed of Allah.
Belief in the Tawheed of Allah.
And His names and attributes.
And His names and attributes. So it's kind of like some overlapping there. So the Shaykh described the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the Sharih, he explained it 2 times. And that in last week's session, the explanation that he gave, he mentioned 5 distinct matters. So he has mentioned some of them. Somebody else help us with what remains. Or, any from the beginning of them. The first thing that he mentions is, number 1, Al-Iman, Billahi wa Asma'i wa Sifati. Second thing. Al-Iman Billahi wa Asma'i wa Sifati. That's 1. Second thing he mentions. Now.
Declaring Allah free from resemblance to the creation.
Okay, declaring Allah to be free from any resemblance to anything in the creation. That's 2. Third thing. That's a fact. Allah doesn't eat or drink, but that's not how he described the Sirat al-Mustaqim.
His attributes are perfect.
Yeah,
his
perfection.
Obedience to Allah, which He has commanded us with.
Obedience to Allah and what He has commanded us with. Naam. That's 3. Number 4. Naam. Sharif. Okay, beneficial knowledge, no doubt. Yani, beneficial knowledge. I'm talking about the description that the explainer of the book, how he explained it, and this is exactly from the text of the book. It's from exactly from the text of the book. He says, Siratuhum hu al-iman billahi wa bi asma'i wa sifatihi wa tanzihu Allah an mushabahati khalqihi. And then after that he said, yani wasfuhu bisifat al-kamal. Yani describing him, first declaring him to be free of any resemblance to anything in the creation, and then describing him with the characteristics or qualities of perfection. And then he also mentioned obeying him in those things that he has commanded us with, and leaving off that which he has prohibited us from. And finally he said, al-wukuf inda hududihi. What does that mean?
To stop at the boundaries,
to not transgress the boundaries that Allah has set, to not go beyond the boundaries that Allah has set. Now,
was that the part that wasn't in the English book? That was just in Arabic.
No, that's the part that was in the English book. I don't know what page it's on, but let me hold your book for a minute, just so that we can be clear on this. Okay, so. Okay, so he said the Ahlus Sunnah. Okay, that was the first time he described, right? On page 27, he says Ahlus Sunnah does not refrain from what the messengers brought, for verily it is the straight path, and it is the Tawheed of Allah, and obedience to Him, and belief in Him, and belief in His names and attributes, and He has no resemblance or similitude to, and no rival. That was the first description he gave in the previous session. After that, when we completed this chapter, he again came back and mentioned As-Sirat al-Mustaqim the second time, where he says, okay. Well, I don't, in, okay, Sirat al-Mustaqim, and then to Alayhim Tayyib, who are, I forget, no rivals, to Kursi. I don't know. I don't see it here. Maybe it is from the a part that's not in the English translation. Allahu A'lam. But, alright, so we have to look for it in English, but in any case, yani, there were two descriptions that the Sheikh gave. The first description he gave was from the previous session, and last week he gave another description. And I'll have to really examine the English again to locate it, but somebody has obviously seen it in Arabic, right? No. And so, I mean, the point is, in any case, yani, the scholars have described Surat al-Mustaqim with different descriptions. Some of them are brief and summarized, some of them are a little bit more detailed. The point here was to, you know, try to look at another description of As-Sirat al-Mustaqim that has been given here, and what it includes here, the elements that he mentioned, is having iman in Allah and His names and His sifat. The second thing, declaring Allah to be free from any resemblance to His creation. The third thing is describing Him with the qualities or characteristics of perfection. The fourth thing he mentioned is obedience to His commands. And the fifth thing he mentioned is abandoning those things that he has prohibited. And the last thing that he mentioned is stopping at the hudud, the boundaries that Allah has set. The third question, which sifat or asma of Allah are confirmed in Surah Al-Ikhlas, the 112th surah, ayats 1 through 4. Which sifat or asma of Allah are confirmed, are affirmed in Surah Al-Ikhlas? Okay, let's try over here. Ameen. Huh? Al-Ahad? That's a name or a sifa? Huh? It's a name? Taib. So which names, which sifat or names are confirmed or affirmed in Surah Al-Ikhlas? Okay, so that's one name he said. Naam. What is your name, brother?
Pierre.
Pierre, uh-huh.
He is As-Samad.
That's a name or a sifa?
Name.
A name. Okay, we want to be clear. What's the difference between a name and a sifa? We want to be clear. That's why we have a question like this. Now.
Allah.
Allah. Now. So how many names we came with so far?
Three.
Allah and what?
As-Samad.
Al-Ahad and As-Samad. Okay, any other names or sifat that are affirmed for Allah in this surah? Okay. There are sifat that are affirmed for Allah in this surah? What's sifat? Is that an affirmation or a negation?
Negation.
We want to distinguish between affirmation, what Allah affirms for Himself, and what He negates from Himself. Okay, so the question is, any names or sifat that Allah has confirmed or affirmed for Himself, He has attributed to Himself, not that which He negated from Himself. Because remember, in the previous two sessions we talked about affirmation and negation. That Allah affirms some names or qualities for Himself, and He negates, He rejects some, yani, qualities or characteristics for Himself. Naam, you have an answer?
A question.
A question, not at the end. Go ahead, right. Fadl.
Ahad and Al-Samad, aren't they also sifat?
No. As-Samad is the name of Allah. As-Samadiyya is a sifa that comes from As-Samad. Al-Ahadiyya is a sifa that comes from Al-Ahad. Tayyib? Question number 4. Mention an exception to the tariqah of Al-Quran and As-Sunnah in nafyun mujmalun and ithbatun mufassalun. And first of all, what is nafyun mujmalun? Now.
Negation, specific and negation.
Okay, so nafyun mujmalun is negation. What kind of negation? Mujmal. General. Mm-hmm. General negation. Ithbat mufassal is what?
Precise.
Ithbat is what?
Affirmation.
Affirmation. What kind of affirmation? Mufassal. Detailed. Detailed. General negation and detailed affirmation. Okay, that's the general rule. This question though says, mention an exception to the tariqah, the way of the Quran and Sunnah in this general negation and detailed affirmation. An exception to that. Mention an exception to that. Somebody gave an answer last week in the beginning of the class, and I said, hold on to that one, because that's an exception. And then the Shaykh explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, naam, lam yalid wa lam yulad. The Shaykh, he said that this statement, lam yalid wa lam yulad, hadha tafseel, khas bi nafi al-wilada. And this is detailed negation, that is special, that's not the general rule. This is a special, detailed negation of Allah, yani being born or given birth. And that's because of the deficiencies and defects that are contained in this kind of description. So Allah negates it, a detailed negation, specific detailed negation, which is not the general rule. Okay? So to understand and to be clear, yani the point of this question is for us to remember, the general rule is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah, the general rule is that he makes general negations. And he makes detailed, specific affirmations. And this is an exception to that rule. Is it clear?
General negations and detailed affirmations.
That's the general rule. General, what did you say?
Or was that said vice versa?
Yeah, I think you said it vice versa. Yani the negation is general. Nothing is like him. That's general. Nothing. He's not saying a tree is not like him. A human being is not like him. He's just saying nothing is like him. That's general negation. Detailed affirmation means he's saying, he's affirming things in detail. He is Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, Al-Kabir, Al-Azim. Details. Naam. We're going to come to Ayat al-Kursi. We're going to come to that, inshallah. That's one of the questions. Okay, the next question is, mention the Asma of Allah that are confirmed in Ayat al-Kursi. The Asma of Allah. The names of Allah that are confirmed or affirmed in Ayatul Kursi, second surah, 255th ayah. What are the names of Allah that are affirmed in Ayatul Kursi? Naam, Abdul Wali. Al-Hayy.
Al-Qayyum.
Slow down. Okay, somebody else join in. Somebody else. Naam, Zakaria. Allah. Start with Allah. Okay, Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum. Anything else? Any other names that are affirmed? Al-Ali and Al-Azim. Okay, these are five names that Allah affirms for himself in Ayatul Kursi. The next question. Number 6. I'm sorry, we are number 6? Yeah. Discuss what is meant by As-Sina and An-Nawm and why they are negated as being sifat descriptions of Allah. What is meant by As-Sina and what is meant by An-Nawm? Okay, Ahmed?
Yeah.
Ahmed, fadl.
Nawm is sleep.
Okay, Nawm is sleep.
It's a defect, and Allah is free from defects.
Okay, what is As-Sina? What is meant by As-Sina? Zakaria. Sleepiness. Okay, a light or slumber, a light type of sleep. As some of the scholars said, the sleep that doesn't go beyond the eyes. And Nawm is sleep, but what is intended here? The difference between As-Sina and An-Nawm? Nawm. Amir.
Nawm is sleep that reaches the heart.
Sleep that reaches. So, what is intended by it is a light sleep. And a Nawm, what is intended by a heavy sleep, yani that affects the heart. Nawm. Now the second part of the question, why have they been negated from Allah? Somebody was answering that question? Nawm. Okay. So Allah affirms for Himself Kamal, the perfection of Hayat, perfect life. Okay? And these two things, As-Sina and An-Nawm, are defects. So Allah is free from this. He declares Himself to be free from this. And likewise, as he mentioned, second point is that An-Nawm is a type of death. And Allah is Al-Hayy Alladhi La Yamut. He's the living who has perfect life and he never dies. So for this reason, these are negated because they are forms of any defect, imperfection that cannot be attributed to Allah who has only perfect characteristics and qualities. Question number 7. Discuss the two types of idhn, permission, applicable to a shafa'ah, intercession for another person. The two types of idhn. Now I'm helping you with your name one more time, brother.
Pierre.
I gotta write that down.
So Allah gives us the general permission to intercede for each other in this life?
General permission for Muslims to intercede for each other, to speak up on behalf of somebody, to help someone, to assist them. In this world there's general permission. Muslims are encouraged to do so. Now, other type of permission?
Allah will give specific permission to intercede to the Prophet we have.
Okay, and he will give any specific, special permission to some people in the next life, like prophets and martyrs and others, who he may give special permission to. Otherwise, no one will be able to intercede in the next life except those who Allah gives special, specific permission to. Question number 8, mention 4 examples of ithbat, affirmation, in Ayatul Kursi. And the last question, mention 4 examples of nafyun, in negation, in Ayatul Kursi. So, 4 examples of ithbat in Ayatul Kursi. Now, Sharif. Just give me one. Allah is ever living. Five. Another one. Somebody else. Naam. Ameen. La ilaha illa huwa. That's affirmation? In reality, La ilaha illa huwa is the same as La ilaha illallah. Yani it's negation and affirmation. Yani the statement of La ilaha illallah is negation and affirmation. Yani the combination of negation and affirmation. Naam. Abdul Wali.
Al-Ilm.
Huh?
Al-Ilm.
Al-Ilm.
He knows what happens to the creation of this world.
Okay, he knows what happens. Yani to the creation of this world next. Now, Ya'alamu? Now, ma bayna aydihim min khawfin. Huh? Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Yani everything in the heavens and earth belongs to him. Now, what else? What else? La yaudhu haf, that's affirmation or negation?
That's negation.
Negation. Naam. Man dhaladhi yashfa indahu is negation or affirmation?
Affirmation.
No one can intercede with him. That's negation. He's saying no one can intercede. Man dhaladhi yashfa, the meaning of that is no one can intercede with him. That's negation. Any other affirmation? Naam. What's here? Yani, his kursi extends over the heavens and earth. That's, he's affirming that. That's not negation, that's affirmation. Naam. That's affirmation. Naam. Okay, he alluded to that, but he didn't mention the ayat. Yes, he knows yani what is before them and what is behind them. Naam. Sharif.
He is the most high and the most great.
And in the end, yani he is the most high and the most great. Naam. That's all, that's affirmation. Okay, negation. Examples of negation. Sharif, go ahead. You have your hand up?
Yeah.
Fadl. Ali. Okay, he negates that. And he says, neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. So that's negation. Naam. What else? What's your name, Akhi?
Zafir.
Zafir? Naam.
Another negation?
Yeah. Who is he that can intercede with him? Meaning, there's no one who can intercede with him. That's negation. Naam. Good. Other one. Sharif.
He
feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving the heavens and the earth. Yani, that's negation. Naam. Anything else? Anything else? Okay, so La ilaha illa huwa is, as we said, there's negation that there's anyone has the right to be worshipped, and then there's affirmation that any worship is for him alone. Naam.
They will never compass his knowledge except that which he wills.
Okay, that the creation cannot encompass anything of his knowledge except what he wills. And he negates that anyone can encompass anything of his knowledge except, yani, that he wills it. Now, okay, so yani, the point here is that is to try to identify these categories of descriptions of Allah or names of Allah. Yani, in terms of the names of Allah, he affirms for himself names. In terms of the descriptions, he affirms some descriptions and negates others. And we want to be able to distinguish between what he has affirmed for himself and what he has negated from himself. All right, tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at some further names that, or some ayat that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, as he continues to mention ayat from the Quran, which will be followed by some ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he shows, yani, some places where we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirming for himself names or different qualities or characteristics and negating from himself different qualities or characteristics. And we may also see in some places the combination of negation and affirmation. The combination, as we saw in Ayatul Kursi, combination of affirmation and negation. We saw in Surah Al-Ikhlas the combination of negation and affirmation. So tonight I'm going to get out of the text of the book a little bit for a benefit. I'm going to read yani the ayats that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in this section, and there are 14. In some of the manuscripts there's a little different arrangement and sometimes different ayat as well, but it's pretty much close. So I'm going to try to stick to the arrangement that's in the book that we're reading from. Read those ayats, and I'm just going to mention briefly yani what Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhullah mentions concerning the point in each ayat that is intended. What's the point? Yani, why is he mentioning this ayat? What is it in this ayat that we should be looking for? Okay, so I think that that's really important, that as we read these ayats, we understand what is it that we are, what is the point? Yani, what is the shahid in the ayat that he is intending, yani, to support the point, yani, his point. So, so for that reason, I'm going to, you know, get away from the text just a little bit. I'm going to read the ayat. So what we're going to be reading from in the English translation, we're going to be reading from pages 34 through 43. The text of the statement of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah begins on page 34, and the sharh begins on page 37. As far as in the Arabic, we're going to be reading from pages 27, 28, 29, and 30. The text of the statement of the ayat that Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah mentions is on page 27, all of them, and then on page 28, 29, and 30 is the sharh. Okay, just so that we know where we at. So I'm going to read, yani, from Arabic, from page 27, the 14 yani references that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, containing descriptions, qualities, and characteristics of Allah, as well as names. And specifically, we are, you know, going to concentrate on some of the names. So the title that is not from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and it doesn't appear to be from Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz as well. But when the audio recordings were transcribed, apparently there were some titles placed here, and this title doesn't appear to be from either the author or the Shari. And the reason why I'm saying that now specifically is just to make a note of that, and as well because there's some difficulty for me in the title. So I'm going to mention a little bit of that related to that just briefly. So the title on the top of page 27 says, and the title of this chapter, Al-Imanu bi-awwaliyatillahi wa azaliyatihi wa ithbatu ilmihi wa sama'ihi wa basarihi wa mashiyatihi wa iradatihi. Al-Iman bi-awwaliyatillahi wa azaliyatihi. And having Iman in Allah being the first, and there's nothing before him. And I think what, yani, as Shaykh Abdul Razak, when he mentioned these names in the explanation of the names of Allah, he described it as awwaliyatihi and akhiriyatihi. And I think that that's what's intended, because even Ibn Qayyim in his explanation of these names, he refers to it as Aliyatihi wa Abadiyatihi. Azaliyah wa Abadiyatihi. And what appears to be intended here is Azaliyatihi, yani he is eternal, yani he was from the beginning, yani there was nothing before him. And Abadiyatihi, that he's everlasting, that there's no end to him. And this is what is understood from the names Al-Awwal and Al-Akhir. Al-Awwal, the first, there's nothing before him. Al-Akhir, the last, and there's nothing after him. And it seems as though that is what is intended by this title, having Iman in Allah being the first, before whom there was nothing, and him being the last, after whom there is nothing. So these apparently, and Allah knows best, appear to refer to the first ayat that came here, that Allah is Al-Awwalu wal-Akhiru, the first and the last, or however it might be translated. Then he says, وَإِثْبَاتْ عِلْمِهِ وَسَمَعِهِ وَبَصَرِهِ وَمَشِيَتِهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ. And the confirmation of these qualities or characteristics, these sifat of Allah, of His knowledge and His hearing and His seeing and His mashiya, which is generally translated as will, and His irada, which I'm going to translate as His intent. In the book, in English, it's translated as His desire. Desire. And I just would like to use a different word. Okay? Mashiyatihi, His will. Iradatihi, His intent. What Allah wills and what Allah intends. So these are, yani, sifat that we should have iman in and that we confirm. Yani, Allah being the first, before whom there was nothing, and He being the last, and after Him there's nothing. Yani, He has no beginning and He has no ending. And confirming His knowledge and His hearing and His sight and His will and His intent. Qala al-mu'allif rahimahullah. The author, that is Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, says, قوله سبحانه هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. This is the first ayah from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 3rd ayat. Yani that Allah, He is the first and the last, and He is the most high and the nearest. And He has knowledge of everything. And He has knowledge of everything. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, in reference to this ayat, he says, the shahid, the point of reference. Why he's mentioning this ayat? Is ithbat hadhi al-asma al-karima al-muqtadiya li-ihatatihi bi-kulli shayin zamanan wa makanan wa tala'an wa taqdiran wa tadbiran ta'ala wa taqaddasa uluwan kabira. And the point of mentioning this ayat is to affirm the affirmation of these noble names that indicate Allah having being all encompassing of everything. Zamanan in time, makanan place, taqdiran in assessing everything is it according to its reality, and tadbiran, yani having the knowledge to maintain and manage all of the affairs of the creation. May Allah be highly exalted and declared to be free from any defects or deficiencies. Yani the point of this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. And some of the scholars discussed this in some detail. Ibn Qayyim mentions a lot of detail concerning this. The summary of what he said is that the first two names, Al-Awwal and Al-Akhir, he said these two names indicate that Allah encompasses all time. Yani from the beginning until the end. He encompasses all time. And al-zahir al-batin, He encompasses, yani, every place. Yani, He is the most high and He is the nearest. So everything is encompassed by Him in terms of time and in terms of place. And He has knowledge of everything. That is, His knowledge encompasses everything. The past, the present, the future. Yani, the heavenly, yani, realm and this earthly realm. Everything is encompassed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second ayah that he mentions, قَوْلُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. This is from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th Ayat. He said, and put your trust, depend upon the one who is living, who has perfect life, who does not die. The one who has perfect life, who does not die. The The Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says, the shahid from this noble ayat, أَنَّ فِيهِ إِثْبَاتَ الْحَيَاةَ الْكَامِلَةَ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَنَفِيَ الْمَوْتَ عَنْهُ فَفِيهَا الْجَمْعُ بَيْنَ النَّفِي وَالْإِثْبَاتِ فِي صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani the point of reference from this ayat is that it contains affirmation of Allah having perfect life and the negation from Him of death. So in it, in this ayat, is the combination between a nafi wal ithbat, negating from Him death and affirming for Him perfect life. Naam. The third ayat. And here there's some difference between the manuscript that Sheikh Salih Fawzan is commenting on, the one that we are using. But in any case, here he mentioned two ayats. Yani the first ayat, or this is the third ayat from Surah Al-Tahrim, 66 surah, second ayat. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Yani that Allah is Al-Alim, the All-Knowing, Al-Hakim, the one who has perfect wisdom. And then he mentions right after that, from Surah Al-An'am, 6th surah, 18th ayat. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And he is the All-Wise, and he is the All-Aware. As far as these two ayat, so Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentions concerning them, the shahid in reference to these ayats is that there is the confirmation in one of them of two of the names of Allah, that is Al-Alim and Al-Hakim. And there is also the confirmation in the other ayat of two names of Allah, that He is Al-Hakim and Al-Khabir. So he said these, yani, indicate to us descriptions or qualities, sifat of Allah, yani including al-ilm and al-hikmah in al-alim al-hakim, and al-hikmah and al-khibra in al-hakim al-khabir. So here there are three sifat of Allah that are confirmed in these two ayats, that Allah has knowledge, that Allah has wisdom, perfect wisdom, and that Allah has, yani, is aware of all things, yani al-khibra. The fifth ayat mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is from Surah Al-Saba, 34th surah, second ayat. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. Yani that he knows what goes down into the earth and what comes out of it. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. And he knows what descends from the heavens and what ascends up to the heavens. وَهُوَ الرَّحِيمُ الْغَفُورُ. And he is the merciful, the forgiving. As far as this fifth ayat, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says the shahid concerning this ayat, أَنَّ فِيهَا إِثْبَاتْ عِلْمُ اللَّهِ إِثْبَاتْ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ الْمُحِيطِ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Yani this ayat affirms for us the knowledge of Allah that encompasses everything. The knowledge of Allah that encompasses everything. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what goes into the earth and what comes out from it and what descends from the heaven and what ascends up to it. And He is Ar-Rahim Al-Ghafoor. The sixth ayat. The sixth ayat is from Surah Al-An'am, 6th surah, 59th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِهُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. Yani, with Him are the keys of the unseen. And no one knows that except Him. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And He knows what is in the land and what is in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And there is not a leaf that falls from a tree except that He knows it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ. And there is no grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything that is fresh or dry, except that it is in a clear book, a record, yani with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sixth ayat. The Shaykh says in reference to this, Shaykh Salih Fawzan says in reference to this ayat, وجه الشاهد من الآيات أن فيها إثبات أنه لا يعلم الغيب إلا الله. Yani that this ayat affirms for us that no one knows the unseen except Allah. وَأَنَّ عِلْمَهُ مُحِيطٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And that His knowledge encompasses everything. There's nothing outside of His knowledge. وفيها إثبات القدر والكتابة في اللوح المحفوظ. And also in this ayat is the affirmation of the divine decree and the writing of everything that's going to happen in the lawh al-mahfuz. The seventh ayat mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ. Surah al-Fatir, 35th surah, 11th ayat. That there is no female that carries a child or delivers that child or gives birth to it except it is within his knowledge. Except that it is in his knowledge. The Shaykh says, a shahid. The point of reference in this ayah, سَفِيهَا إِثْبَاتْ عِلْمُ اللَّهِ الْمُحِيطِ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِثْبَاتْ قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Yani in this ayah, there's the affirmation of Allah's all-encompassing knowledge, that it encompasses everything, and also the affirmation of yani the power, the ability of Allah over everything, that He's able to do everything. The eighth ayat is from Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 12th ayat, the saying of Allah, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And this ayat actually the Shaykh mentions together with the previous ayat, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, he mentions it together, yani, and this is so that you will know that Allah has power, has the ability to do everything, and that Allah yani encompasses everything in His knowledge. So that's part of what the Shaykh was referring to when he said that it's also the affirmation in these two ayats. There's also the affirmation in the second of them of Allah's power and His ability to do everything. The ninth ayat. The ninth ayat is from Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 58th ayat, 51, 58. The saying of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. That indeed Allah is Ar-Razzaq, the one who provides for everything in the creation. And He is Dhu Al-Quwwa, and He is the one who possesses power or strength. And He is Al-Mateen, the most strong. In reference to this, and here I have a note, that in these ayat, in these 14 ayat, they contain 16 or 17 names of Allah. 16 or 17 names of Allah. 16, if we don't count, ذو قوة. And 17, if we do count it. And the reason why I'm saying that is because some of the scholars have said in reference to the names of Allah, from amongst those things that help us to know what is the name of Allah and not, is that those descriptions that came with ذو, يعني ذو القوة, like here, or ذو الرحمة, or ذو الجلال والإكرام, names that came with ذو, I mean, descriptions that came with ذو, some of the scholars of the Sunnah said those are not names of Allah. And there's some difference of opinion about it. So, Sheikh Saleh Al-Usaymi, in his description, in his commentary on Wasatiyya, he mentions Dhu Al-Quwa as one of the names. He counts that as one of the yani, names that Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in the ayahs that he mentions in this section and what follows. As far as Sheikh Al-Usaymin, in his discussion concerning this, he doesn't, or in his listing of the names of Allah, Al-Asma Al-Husna, he doesn't mention Dhu Quwa as one of the names. And likewise, his teacher, Al-Imam Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di, in his listing in the back of his tafsir of the names of Allah and the brief descriptions of them, he doesn't list it as one of the names of Allah. So there are some scholars who said it's a name, and some scholars who said it is not a name. Sheikh Abdul Razak, in his Asma Al-Husna, in his explaining the meanings of the beautiful names of Allah, he says in reference to this ayat, Ar-Razak, Dhu Quwwat Al-Mateen, he said this name Al-Mateen came one place in the Quran connected to the description, yani makrunan bi wasfillah bi dhil quwwah. Yani Sheikh Abdul Razak said this name Al-Mateen came one place in the Quran along with a wasf, a sifa of Allah. He describes dhu quwwah as a sifa, Sheikh Abdul Razak. So he specifically says it's a sifa. Sheikh Uthaymeen and Sheikh Al-Imam Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di don't mention it amongst the names of Allah in their listing of the names of Allah. So there's obviously yani, some difference of opinion here. So again, the point here is that maybe this could be a name of Allah, Dhul Quwwati, according to some scholars and according to others, it's not. It's a sifat. And one of the things that perhaps we can look at here is that some of the descriptions of Allah that came in the Quran, like Dhul Quwwah or Dhul Rahmah, we know that Quwwah and Rahmah are sifat that come from the names of Allah, yani Al-Qawi and Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So it's not likely that these sifat that came from Allah's names are also names of Allah. Yani Al-Qawi is the name of Allah, is Dhul Quwwah a name of Allah, or it is yani a description of Allah. Yani Quwwah is a sifa that comes from the name Al-Qawi. So it's also something to think about. Okay, this is the ninth ayat that the Shaykh mentions. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah mentions. And here, even Shaykh Salih Fawzan also in his description or in his mentioning of the point of reference here, he says, Ash-shahid min al-ayat al-karima, yani the point from of reference from this ayat, fiha ithbat ismihi ar-razak. He said that this ayat is the affirmation of Allah's name, ar-razak. Wa wasfihi bil-quwwa at-tama, and his description of having, of possessing perfect strength. So here even Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan is saying that ar-razak is a name of Allah and dhu-quwwa is a wasf. Wasfihi bil-quwwa at-tama. Yani that is not affected by weakness or by yani becoming tired of doing anything. وَفِيهَ إِسْتِدْلَالَ عَلَى وَجُوبِ إِبَادَتِهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And also in this ayah, it can be used as an evidence of the obligation of worshipping Allah alone without any yani partner, without anyone sharing in that worship. Tenth ayat. The tenth ayat is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing like him and he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. This is from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat. Okay, so the Shaykh Salih Fawzan says in reference to this ayat, the point of reference from this ayat, فِيهَا إِثْبَاتَ السَّمَعْ وَالْبَصَرِ لِلَّهِ, yani the affirmation of the two qualities of hearing and seeing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَفْيُ مُمَاثَلَةِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ, and also in this ayat is the negation of there being any similarity or resemblance between Allah's qualities and the qualities of the created beings. The affirmation of As-Sam'a wal-Basar for him, that he hears and he sees, and the negation of there being any resemblance between his hearing and seeing, and the hearing and seeing of the created beings. فَفِي ذَلِكَ الْجَمْ فِي مَا وَصَفَ وَسَمَّ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ بَيْنَ النَّفِي وَالْإِثْبَاتِ. So this also contains the combination in what Allah describes and names himself with, the combination between النَّفِي and الْإِثْبَاتِ. And there's نَفِي and إِثْبَاتِ here, yani the affirmation of As-Sam'a wal-Basar and the negation of it being, yani there being any resemblance between the hearing and the seeing of Allah and that of those qualities of the created beings. The 11th ayat, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, is from Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, 39th ayat, the saying of Allah, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Yani it would have been better for you when you entered your garden if you had said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, yani that which Allah wills will be, and there is no strength except with Allah. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he says, actually he mentions this ayat, and I'll read the three of them because he mentions them together. This ayat, which is the 11th ayat, and the next ayat, the 12th ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 253rd ayat, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ, that if Allah had willed, they would not have fought one another. But Allah does whatever He yureed, whatever He intends. Or you can say wills, because here the meaning of irada is mashiyah. So even though two different words are used here, the meaning is the same. Yani Allah does whatever He wills or whatever He intends. The next ayat, 13th ayat, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, first ayat, أُهِدْ لَكُمْ بَهِيمَةُ الْأَنْعَامِ إلا ما يطلع عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم. يعني that it has been made lawful for you the animals, the cattle, meaning specifically the ibl and bakra and ghanam, يعني the camels and cows and sheep or goats, that they have been made lawful for you, إلا ما يطلع عليكم, except that which is recited to you here, and this is in reference to the ayat that prohibit that which dies of itself in blood and swine and so on. Except that, غير محل السيد, and except the animals, the game animals of the land, while you are in a state of ihram. That's also prohibited to hunt while you're in a state of ihram. إن الله يحكم ما يريد. Indeed, Allah commands whatever He intends. يعني يريد here is the same as the meaning of يشاء. يعني whatever He wills. So these three ayats, Sheikh Saleh Fazan mentions together, الشاهد في الآيات, the point of reference in these ayats, أن فيها إثبات المشيئة والقوة والحكم والإرادة صفات لله تعالى على ما يليق بجلاله. And in these three ayats, and from Surah Al-Kahf and Surah Al-Ma'idah and Surah Al-Baqarah, is the affirmation of المشيئة, that Allah has a will, وَالْقُوَّةِ, and that Allah has strength, and حُكُمْ, that Allah is the one who rules, who decides, who judges and commands, and irada. So here he mentions sifat of Allah, al-mashi'a and al-irada. And at some point they overlap and at some point they separate. So that we will discuss as we go along. But what I want to do here, I just want to mention that the Mashiach is generally translated as will, the will of Allah, whatever He wills will be. And Al-Irada has been translated in the English translation as desire, and I translate it as intent, what Allah intends. And these have all been confirmed as sifat of Allah the Most High, عَلَى مَا يَلِيكُ بِجِلَالِهِ, in a way that is appropriate, that is befitting, that is suitable of Allah's majesty. Yani that these characteristics or qualities are affirmed for Allah, but in a way that is befitting of His majesty, not in a way that might be befitting of the defective created beings. Yani in a manner of perfection, of perfection. The last ayat that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions is from Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, 125th ayat, the saying of Allah, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. يعني that whoever Allah يريد, يعني whoever Allah intends, يعني أراد, whoever Allah intends to guide him, then he expands, he opens his chest, yani to be receptive to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ, yani irada, whoever Allah intends, أَنْ يَضِلَّهُ, to lead him astray, to send him astray, يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا, he makes his chest, yani closed and constricted, tight, so that it's difficult for that person to accept Islam. And the description came here, how difficult, كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, as though he is trying to ascend up into the sky. Yani as difficult as it would be for a person to ascend up into the sky, that's how difficult it will be for that person to accept Islam when Allah constricts his chest. Because Allah intends for him to be go astray. And Allah doesn't intend for anybody to go astray except that that's what they deserve. And some of the modern scientists have testified that this ayat is one of the miraculous truths, scientific truths, that only became known in modern time, the constriction of the chest when a person ascends up. The higher you go up into the sky, and that's why when you go in the airplane, they have to have controlled cabins. Otherwise, the tightness, yani that occurs at heights when a person goes up high. The Shaykh, he says concerning this, and this is what we're going to close with from the commentary of Shaykh Saleh Fawzan. He said, "Al-Shahid min al-Ayat al-Karima," yani the point of reference from this ayat, yani Surah Al-An'am, 6 Surah, 125th ayat, "Anna fiha ithbat al-irada lillahi subhanahu wa annaha shamila lil-hidayah wal-idlal أي يريد الهداية ويريد الإدلال قولا وقدرا لحكمة بالغة. يعني the point of this ayat is that it affirms Allah's irada, that Allah intends some things, and that this irada is shamila, it's comprehensive, including he intends hidayah, guidance for some people, and he intends idlal, misguidance for some people. He intends guidance for some people, and he intends misguidance for some people. قَوْنًا وَقَدَرًا يعني in his irada قَوْنِيَّة. And we're going to talk about the difference between the intent, the irada qawniyah, and the irada shar'iyah. He says Allah intends for some people to be misguided in his irada qawniyah or his irada qadariyah. Yani that's which he decrees. Li hikmatin baligha. For some, yani far-reaching wisdom. Yani Allah intends some people to misguide it for a reason, for a purpose. Yani not just haphazardly, but for a reason, for a purpose. That's the end of his commentary, and the last point we're going to close with is the Shaykh, he says here, after he mentions that Allah intends for some people guidance and intends for other people misguidance, he says, فَالْإِرَادَ الرَّبَّانِيَّ نَوْآنِ. Yani the irada of Allah, the Rabbil Alameen, is of two types. And this is very, very important point here. And he gives some details, we're going to just go briefly with it because of the time. But he mentions that the irada of Allah is of two types. And it's important to understand the difference between them, because the Jabari and the Qadari went astray because of going to one extreme or the other extreme. Yani recognizing one type of Allah's irada and not recognizing the other type, the Ahlul Sunnah recognize both types of irada. That Allah has irada qawniyya, qadariyya, and irada diniyya, shar'iyya. And the Shaykh explains that here. He says, al-irada, the irada of Allah is of two types. The first type is irada qawniyya, qadariyya. The universal irada, or the irada that's related to what Allah decrees. When He decrees it, it must happen. He says, وَهَذِهِ مُرَادِفَةً للمشيئة. And this one is the same as the Mashiyah of Allah. This irada, qawniyya, qadariyya, is the same as Allah's Mashiyah. It's the same. That's where they yani come together. From the examples of this, and he gave several examples, is yani the example that we just read. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا. When Allah intends his irada, qawniyya, qadariyya, when he intends a person to go astray, he makes their heart yani closed and restricted, constricted. When Allah intends, meaning irada qawniyya, his universal will that is based on his decree. He decreed something, it must happen. The second type of irada of Allah is irada diniyya, shar'iyya, yani his religious irada or legislative irada, what Allah legislates in his laws, in his deen. And from the examples of that, he says, wallahu yuridu an yatuba alaykum, that Allah intends to turn to you and accept your repentance. This is from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 27th Ayat. The last point the Shaykh makes is that, okay, so there are two types of irada, irada qawniyya, which may also sometimes be referred to irada qadariyya. Yani the universal will of Allah based on what He decrees that must happen. And then there's the irada diniyya or shar'iyya based on what Allah intends from His legislation. He intends people to worship Him, to pray and to fast and to be obedient. He legislated that. That's His irada, shara'iyya, what He put in the sharia. Then the Shaykh mentioned some differences between the two of them, and I want you to grasp this difference between the two of them. I'm going to just mention two of the points which are the clearest of them, and most of the scholars have mentioned them. He says, al-farq bayna al-iradatayn, the difference between the two types of irada. Number one, al-irada qawniyya, universal irada. قَدْ يُحِبُّهَا اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهَا وَقَدْ لَا يُحِبُّهَا وَلَا يَرْضَاهَا. Yani Allah might love that thing that He intended in His irada qawniyya. He might love it and be pleased with it. And He also might not love it and not be pleased with it. So it's something that Allah yani may or may not love. He decrees there be shaitan. Allah doesn't love that. He's not pleased with shaitan, but He decreed it to be. Allah is not pleased with people's disobedience and sin, but He decreed it to be. So the irada qawniyya is that which Allah might love, and He might not love. He may be pleased with it, He may not be pleased with it. The second part of it, he said, then he says, al-irada shar'iyya la budda annahu yuhibbuha wa yardaha. But as far as irada shar'iyya, it must be that which Allah loves and He pleases. What He legislated, He loves it and He's pleased with it. So that's the first distinction between them. Irada qawniyya, Allah may or may not love it and be pleased with it. Irada shar'iyya, He always loves it and is pleased with it. فَاللَّهُ أَرَادَ الْمَعَسِيَ قَوْنًا وَلَا يَرْضَاهَا شَرْعًا. Allah intended sin to be in the world according to His irada qawniyya, what He decreed. But He's not pleased with sin. He's not pleased with sin or disobedience. The second difference between them, al-irada al-qawniyya, لَا بُدَّ مِنْ وُقُوِيهَا. The irada qawniyya, universal will, it must occur. Allah intends something to happen, He decrees it to happen, it has to happen. There's no escape from it. He might love it, He might not love it, but it must happen. وَالْإِرَادَ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ لَا يَلْزَمْ وُقُوهَا. Yani it's not a necessity that it has to happen. فَقَدْ تَقَى وَقَدْ لَا تَقَى. It might occur and it might not occur. Second difference, irada qawniyya must happen. Irada shar'iyya may, or Allah legislated that people pray. People may pray and they may not pray. It may happen, it may not happen. Allah decreed that people fast, that the Muslims fast in Ramadan. Some people fast and some people don't. So this is what He loves and is pleased with. It may or may not happen. It may or may not happen. Okay, so what are the two differences between irada shar'i and irada kawniyya? What are the two differences between them? In brief. Now, who has a good idea on this? A good idea, like sharp idea. Okay, Abdul Wali.
Irada kawniyya is that...
Kawniyya, the universal will. Now.
Right, that is what Allah decrees.
What Allah decrees. He decreed some things to happen.
Yes, it's how they live.
It must happen.
It must happen.
Okay, what else about it? What else? What's the other point about it?
And He's not pleased with it.
He may or may not be pleased with it. Because it's not just people drinking, it's people
praying too.
That must occur. He decreed these things to happen. They are all going to happen. Some of them are what He loves and some of them are what He doesn't love. But it must happen. As far as the irada shara'iyya, what's the two points about shara'iyya? Somebody else. Naam, Ahmed. Same two points, but different side of it. It's what Allah legislated, and He always loves it. And what about it occurring?
It might occur, it might not.
It may or may not occur. Okay, so what's the two differences? The irada qawniyya, universal will, is something that must occur. Allah may love it and be pleased with it, or He may not. The opposite is true of irada shar'iyya. It is something that Allah does love and He's pleased with all the time, but it may or may not occur. Qawniyya must occur, shar'iyya may or may not occur. Qawniyya, Allah may love it or not. Shara'iyya, He always loves it. So these are two areas that they differ upon. Now.
Also, the universal desire cannot be opposed. No one can
resist. So that's what's understood from it must occur. And nobody can resist it, nobody can oppose it, nobody can stop it. Now, that's good. The Sheikh mentions in his commentary that particular point. But here, he didn't mention it, Sheikh Salih Fawzan didn't mention it, but it's understood from what? The universal will must occur. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can resist it. Nobody can oppose it. Nobody can contest it. It must occur. As far as the shar'iyya, people may go along with it or not. People do whatever they want to do. And then they suffer the consequences. Allahu musta'an. Yani today, we're going to break this into two sessions. I hope that the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, I hope that his commentary was of benefit in terms of the listing, listing of ayat of the Quran, understanding what are those ayats contain. What's the point? Why is he mentioning all these ayat? So Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah, what he has done for us is he has summarized briefly each ayat. What's the point in that ayat that we should be aware of? It's not in our book because it's from a different book, but in any case, hopefully some of it, when we look at those ayats, we will see what he's confirming. What are the important points in each of those ayats? And in the next week's session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, his commentary on these, on these 14 ayat. Some of them he's passed over briefly, and some of them he explains in a little bit more detail. But in any case, I think, inshallah, hopefully, by dividing it into two sessions, inshallah, we'll get a little bit more benefit out of it. All right, so we're going to stop with this next week, bi'izni lillahi ta'ala, what we're going to be doing next week. And by the way, so we didn't read it from the commentary of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, which most of the questions came from his commentary. So the question and study guide for next week's, for today's session, we only covered two of the questions, the first two questions. So I might make up a few more questions, dealing with what we dealt with today, and make a modified study guide. So look out for the modified study guide, inshallah. Maybe I'll add two or three more questions, just to kind of fill it in, some of the points that we covered today, inshallah. And I'll try to stick to the text of the book, not the commentary from another book. Try to stick to the text of the book. So the answers will be right there in the text. And next week, we're going to be reading from page 27, or 28, 29, and 30 in Arabic. And we're going to be reading in English from pages 37 to 43. Next week, we're going to read in English from pages 37, the beginning of the Shar, to 43 in Arabic. The beginning of the Shar is on page 28 and 29 and 30. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions or any comments or any corrections, inshallah, we'll take them after we break down. In case people have to leave, they may leave, and those who are able to stay, they may stay. Oh, okay. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khair.
Yeah, that's it.